Session number 10783, Reel 1.
Mr. Davis, Reel 1. How and when did you first join Four Commando, please?
Well, let me see. I was stationed outside Chichester. 1940, June. About, we'd been back from Dunkirk about a month. I was in the 10th Infantry Brigade. And we were a bit fed up. We had no weapons to speak of. And we were just doing routine marching and swimming and what have you. One day, a smart young officer from the Duke of Cornwall's Light Infantry arrived and asked for volunteers for a special force. So about a dozen of us, or 20 perhaps, I'm not sure now, volunteered, and this officer's name was Hodgkinson. And he formed D Troop, a four commander. So on the 4th or 5th of July, we all assembled down at Weymouth. And the colonel in charge was Lagarde of the Dragoons, 5th in the skilling, I think it was. A very fine chap. We remained there training, very serious training, actually, for about 3 or 4 months.
Which regiment had you been in originally?
I'd been in the Royal Artillery.
Did they say anything about what was going to be involved with this special force? Did you have any idea you committed?
We were told that we were going to be active raiding the enemy coast, which appealed to us foolish boys.
So it was the desire for something interesting to do, was it?
And we wanted to be active, that's what it was. I mean, a lot of us wanted to get our own back for the humiliation we suffered in the retreat through Belgium.
And you said that you were a member of D Troop.
That's right.
Can you tell me how that fitted in with Four Commando?
Well, there are 8 troops in the commando unit. The commando unit is about 550 men. 8 assault troops, and then a troop with heavy weapons and a signal troop. That's about the lot. The troop I was in was completely regular soldiers, with one or two conscripts, but they were fine fellas, each and every one of them.
Physically, you mean?
In every way, yeah. Morale, temperament, everything. They were a bit selective, and perhaps sound boastful. they were selective in the men. If you didn't fit, you were kicked out pretty fast.
Did they kick a lot out?
Not out of my troop, no. Very, very few.
And did they come from all kinds of different...
Yes,
regiments?
Every regiment you can think of. Well, they needed people for tank men. You might have an opportunity to man an enemy tank for all you knew. You might want artillerymen to man the enemy guns. This never happened, of course.
So they were looking for a variety of skills?
Everything, yes. Demolition men, too.
What skills did you bring in from the Royal Artillery, personally? Did you actually man a gun?
No, strangely enough, I never did. I was a range taker. The last fortnight of my service in Belgium, we lost our guns in most of them anyway, so they assigned me to a little anti-tank unit with 2-pounder guns, which are pretty hopeless. But we were fighting a losing battle all the way.
Can you tell me the nature of the training that you had with Four Commando?
Oof, it was very arduous. Severe, in fact. Mostly running, climbing, unarmed combat. We were fit as prize fighters at the end of the training, I'll tell you. After about a month, we were all fit.
Do you remember any particular personalities who took part in the training, either as participants or as instructors?
No. Except the CO, he'd have been a Pentlethan entrant in the Olympic Games in 1936. I don't know if he won a medal, but he did very well. I don't know if he's still alive. He'd be pretty old if he were.
Where did the training take place?
New Weymouth.
Was there any particular reason why Weymouth was chosen for cliffs or anything of that kind?
No, I don't suppose it was. Well, we wanted to be near the coast, and it was there were plenty of MTBs about. We actually went out on the trawlers minesweeping at weekends. We manned the machine guns on the trawlers because their armaments were very small, very limited. Maybe a 6-pounder gun, that'd be all they had, so they were quite happy to have us along. We didn't see much action there. We had to sort of look for it. The Germans weren't very active, really. Of course, the channel there is pretty wide, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
So, which months were these when you were in training?
July, August, September, 40.
So, this was the time when you were expecting an invasion?
Yes, yes.
Did you think that there would be an invasion?
No.
Why not?
Well, have you ever heard of the Royal Navy? How they get the men across the water. And there are no ships for... I mean, the invasion of Europe from Britain must have taken about 18 months concentrated effort. The Germans couldn't possibly have crossed. They hadn't got the material, the men. And the Royal Air Force was very, very efficient, wasn't it?
Was the Dieppe raid the first actual raid that you participated in?
No, it was over 3 times before that. We went to Norway in 1941.
Was that the Lofoten raid?
The Lofoten raid, yes.
What do you remember about that? Can you tell me your own personal memories of the Lofoten raid?
Well, there was little opposition. And we captured about 400 Germans. But they were taken by... They were Luftwaffe troops, anyhow. They were not what you call fighting men. Technicians, mainly. We destroyed a lot of shipping. Blew the ships up in the harbour and the oil installations. We did only a few casualties. I don't think anyone was killed. That was our people. We slaughtered a few Germans, quite unnecessarily. But it was a picnic, actually. The coal was the worst thing.
Why was it unnecessary to slaughter them? Because they were surrendering anyway.
They would have surrendered, yes. Actually, some of them were trying to get away. But some of the fellows are kind of eager. We did have some bloodthirsty characters with us. Luckily, there were few and far between.
Because that's the kind of image some people have of commandos, isn't it?
Yes. But
they're all bloodthirsty.
Well, I don't know.
Was that so or not?
No. As I said, perhaps 1 in 10 was a bloodthirsty character. The rest of us were quite normal people. I mean, I could have shot an awful lot of Germans. In fact, I saved quite a lot from being shot. Some of our guys would kill the wounded if necessary.
What things happened to you personally on the Lofoten raids that stick out in your memory? Any incidents?
I can't remember anything special. The only thing, we blew up a ship. I remember the name of the Schulz-Bernard registered in Hamburg. And there was about 10,000 tons, and while the demolition boys were preparing the charges, we were looting the ship, and someone found a radio, and I think the hottest action on the ship that day was who was going to have the radio. We were squabbling amongst each other. In the end, we tossed for it.
Did you get it?
No, no.
What else were you able to take from the ship?
Oh, a Nazi flag, I think I picked up. I've had a few rusty rifles on board. I don't know. The Germans are supposed to be very, very efficient people, yet the weapons they had were red rusty. Pretty rusty, anyhow. Because they were merchant seamen, these guys. They probably didn't want to know about weapons, anyhow.
What were these other two raids that you were on before the Dieppe raid?
We went to Boulogne twice, but the first one was abortive. We lost a landing craft in the rough weather. And it was on Hitler's birthday. We went back to Dover, and I thought the raid would be cancelled, but Lovett, being a bit of a hero, wanted to do it again, so we did it the following St. George's Day, I think it was.
1941?
41, yes. But it was... we wouldn't call it a very successful raid. We didn't do anything special. We didn't recover. We didn't take any prisoners or anything like that. One of the objects of the exercise was to capture some German radar installations, but we couldn't find them.
What was your particular duty on that raid? What were you supposed to do?
I was just a rifleman.
Did you actually see any Germans?
Well, we heard them running away in the darkness. A few shots fired. We fired back in the direction, but we never had them. I didn't see any Germans. It was, the whole thing was as abortive as the previous one when we lost the landing craft. We got soaking wet off the road now, and we nearly froze to death. So that's as close as we got to being killed.
How frightening was it on a raid like that?
Never frightened me at all. I was never frightened of a German. I was as good as any German, better than most. Ever had a weapon. The thing that frightened me was the sea. I can't fight against the sea.
Fear of drowning?
Well, not normal. It was in the rough seas that I guess to wonder. What chance have you got in a flat-bottom boat? As I had, on the abortive raid to Boulogne, we lost a landing craft and several sailors were drowned. I got one out of the water. But while I was doing that, I could hear the other guy, his mate in the water behind us, calling out for him to come and get him, but nothing we could do. We couldn't see him. We searched for about an hour or so, about 5 miles off the French coast, but we couldn't find him. And then the E-boats came along. We lost more sailors being shot up by the E-boats.
Can we go on to the Dieppe raid now, and can you tell me what kind of preparations were made for going on it?
Yes, well, we were back at Weymouth, and we used Lulworth Cove as our training ground. And we did 5 night landings at Lulworth Cove because that was similar territory to where we were going, outside Dieppe. Consequently, when we went on the Dieppe, it was just another night exercise to us. Oh, the only training we did was coming out of the landing craft and plenty of running. We're very keen on that. You had to be very, very mobile. If you weren't mobile, you were no use. Actually, the Dieppe, there was nobody ever commended the captain who took us out in the landing ship, infantry landing ship. They couldn't go in close to the coast because the German radar would pick us up. We left Southampton, steamed up towards Dover, and then we turned around and came back right in the middle of the channel. We gradually eased over until the ship was about 15 miles from the coast. And while the ship was still in motion, only just making headway, the landing craft were lowered with us in them. And we just made off under our own steam. It took a remarkable bit of seamanship to really keep, because it wouldn't take much to turn the landing craft over. And I never had any commendation for the skipper of that ship.
What was your own role to be in the Dieppe raid?
I was to patrol with three other guys an area in front of the German gun emplacements. But first of all, we had to destroy the German support troops, the couple of companies of infantry, to protect the guns. There was probably about 200 of them, 180 perhaps. And we had to get rid of them before. See, my troop, along with A troop, landed in front of the guns on the below the cliffs. We had to blast our way through a gully which is full of barbed wire, and they used Bangalore torpedoes. I think I must be the only man in the British Army to have used a Bangalore torpedo in the last war. I never ever saw them used except on that occasion. Meanwhile, the second party under Lovett had landed about a mile and a half further down the coast west and had come in behind the gun positions. They did actually fire off a ranging shot at some British vessel out at sea, but before they could open up, Lovett's men had come in the back. Meanwhile, we were in the front. We'd slaughtered the infantry to a man. We got them cold, you see. Some of them still in their beds, coming out in their pajamas and getting shot down. And we only had about 3 casualties. Once that was done, we had to make sure there were no other troops in the undergrowth, which was pretty thick on top of the cliff. So we patrolled. We saw one or two. We fired at them, but they disappeared. Whether they were hit or not, we don't know. But I was just a rifleman at that time.
How close to the Germans yourself did you come in the raid?
Oh, 50 yards. 70, perhaps, I'm not certain.
And who was in command of you?
Well, Mills Roberts was a major at the time. He later became brigadier. He was in charge of our group. But our company commander was David Stiles, a captain.
Did you lose any comrades from your unit?
Oh, yes. Not a lot, though. We had about 20 casualties. About 10 dead, 10 wounded. We brought most of our wounded back. We had to leave several, two or three behind because they were too badly wounded to move. So our medical orderly volunteered to stay behind and take care of them. And, of course, he became a prisoner. But we must have slaughtered about 400 Germans for the loss of about 20 men of our own.
Did you bring any Germans back?
Yes, about 3, I think.
Why were they picked to bring back?
Well, we had a wounded man, and they put him on a duckboard, and the 3 Germans were carrying him. Otherwise, they'd have been slaughtered too.
Were they privates or?
Yeah, privates, I think.
How easy was it getting back from Dieppe?
No problem. We re-embarked about 9:30 in the morning, and by this time the main raid was in. Into Dieppe itself was taking. Our job was to destroy a gun battery, 6-inch guns, which were covering the entrance to Dieppe, in cooperation with another one that was 2 miles east of Dieppe. Where were these? 12 guns, no cross-firing, no vessel could enter Dieppe. So those guns were neutralized, we could, there was no chance of getting in. Well, we blew our guns up. Unfortunately, 3 commando were doing the guns on the eastern side. They got caught in the open sea. The E-boats came in, and we could see the tracers from the E-boats cutting into 3 commando. About 80 men got ashore, and they successfully neutralized the guns by keeping the gun crews away from the guns. They did a really good job. But I think there are only 80 survivors, actually. The rest were caught on the water and sunk, as far as I know. I didn't hear of any people being rescued from the water.
What kind of mood were you and your comrades in when you got back from the Dieppe raid? Were you pleased with yourselves?
Well, we weren't affected much anyway. We're a pretty phlegmatic lot of fellas. Nothing really upset them. No, nothing at all.
What did you do after the Dieppe raid in the way of hostilities?
Nothing. We did train for a landing somewhere on the French coast, but only about 20 of us would take to do it. It was from a submarine. But fortunately, it was cancelled. I didn't fancy going in a submarine. We were actually on a submarine, but we didn't submerge. That would have frightened the life out of me. Don't like that kind of thing at all.
But what about D-Day? Did you take part in that?
Yes. That was no problem either.
What role did you have in Four Commando in D-Day?
Oh, I was a corporal by this time and a section to take care of. We didn't get ashore in the daytime. We didn't get ashore until midnight. Craft was damaged and we were circling around and we had to get towed in by another landing craft. But before this, of course, every other landing craft was busily engaged. They had to get ashore, land their men and get back to their ship, go and collect more men. It wasn't until almost dark that we got into tow by a spare landing craft and taken ashore. So we were late joining up with our own unit. We didn't join up until the following morning.
Where did you join up with them eventually?
Oh, I can't remember the name of the place. Amphraville, was it? Amphraville, yes. We were attached to the 6th Airborne Division.
What was their situation when you met up with them?
Oh, it was very, very dodgy. Almost surrounded. See, the object of the 6th Airborne Division is to grab this high ground east of the landing strips on the beach. If the Germans could have got some 88s up on top, they could have commanded 7 miles of beach. They could have smashed up the whole landing. In fact, I'm quite convinced the thing failed because we were almost overrun by D+4. By this time, of course, more reinforcements had come up and the RAF were keeping the Germans away, but by this time we were down to 22 men. We'd had 80% casualties.
22 men out of the...
Out of my company. They were originally for 55. Reduced to 22, but then we got another 55 reinforcements from 43 Royal Marines and from Number 3 Commando, but they all got slaughtered. And we were back to the original 22, so that was about 80% casualty we suffered over the 4 days. We'd lost all our officers. Our Sergeant Major was promoted to to Lieutenant to take over.
Who was he?
Peter King. He was awarded the DCM and made up to Lieutenant.
Do you remember the letter of the company? Which company it was?
That was C Company by this time.
What did the Germans attack you with in order to drive you off this position?
Everything you think of. Mortars, 3-inch mortars, 81mm mortars I think they had. Maybe it's 88mm, I can't recollect. I think 81mm mortars. Mainly infantry. A few tanks about, but the RAF seemed to take care of the tanks. Anything that moved us. The RAF took care of everything. Of course, there was no Luftwaffe about at all. Otherwise, we'd never have made it. The Luftwaffe won the Battle of Normandy. I'm sorry, the RAF won the Battle of Normandy. Because the German equipment was still far superior to ours. We were armed with those blasted Bren guns. They only fired about, 300-400 rounds a minute. The Germans had a weapon that would fire 1,500 rounds a minute. That was 25 rounds a second. I could never understand why we adopted the Bren gun. The object of a machine gun is to spit out as much lead as possible in as short a time as possible. Then get it the hell out of the position. Otherwise, but the thing we had would inflict very few casualties in a long time. We were very inadequately armed, I think.
How close did the Germans come to you?
Oh, 30, 40 yards.
So, did you actually get a glimpse of them?
Oh, yes, yes.
Did they actually drive you out of any of these positions?
No. No.
You just hung on until you were...
Well, we had a very crafty company commander. We were told to go and hold a line down a lane Now, there was a road from a place called Salonelles, which bisected this lane. Well, behind our lane, say about 20 feet, 25 feet from the ditch, was an orchard with an 18-inch wall, and it was very high, this wall. An obvious defensive position. All we did was knock a few holes in the wall, and we were invulnerable. But he didn't want that, because the mortar bombs would come right over the top and burst in the trees, in the apple trees, and we'd be sitting targets. We'd have been wiped out in no time. So he got us in front of the wall and dug deeply into the ditch down the whole length of this lane. The Germans naturally thought we were behind the wall, and they started throwing the mortars over. When they came into attack, we were in the ditch right in front, and they didn't know where we were. They thought they'd wiped us all out. So we didn't see fire till they saw the whites of their eyes. And they did this four times. Each time they sent a company, and the company got cleaned out. They still hadn't caught on to the idea that we were not behind there with the wall. I think they ran out of men in the end, and they stopped attacking. Fortunately for us, because we were right down to the last 22 men, they could have walked in then. And the position we were holding covered the bridges, which was about a half a mile away. The bridge over the River Dee was one of them, and that was a main supply. That was connecting us with the line, the road to Caen. We should have been in Caen on D-Day, actually. We didn't get there for 6 weeks.
This company commander who adopted this position was Peter King, was he?
No, it was David Stiles.
But he got killed?
No, he was wounded on D+4. He was killed later in a car accident.
So, eventually you were pulled out of this position when reinforcements took over?
That's right. I think it was 43 Royal Marines took the position. And we went out for a rest for a half a day.
Where did they put you next?
Went to a little village called Breville, which was about couple of miles further inland.
Was this in the front line again?
Oh, yes. We're still surrounded. Well, not completely, but say three-quarters of the way. The Germans held all the ground from the coast right round to the road to Caen. In fact, right into Caen.